This is Call with Dad's podcast, where today's issues, concerns, and joys of being a dad are discussed, with your hosts E.A. Maynard and Mr. Pancake sharing their views, experiences, and all things they know. Join the journey with us. Welcome to Call with Dads, more than a podcast or a website, but your home for a community of dads who want to be better. Now let's get started.
So let's do this. Let's dig into this, shall we? Accidentally shut my mic off. Basically, what we're diving into this week, if I'm remembering correctly, is fathers scared of being weak men and weak fathers and weak husbands. Because I remember I shot this out to both you guys saying, hey, what do you think? On a Reddit post I saw where a guy was talking about, basically, he was scared of everybody's talking, you have to be a strong man, you have to be a tough dad, you have to be this, you have to be able to be the guard dog, all these different things the guy went into talking about how all he hears is to be a strong father, blah, blah, blah. And he was perceiving that as basically somebody that's at the gym 6 days a week, 5 hours a day, with their kids 8 hours, getting 8 hours sleep, working 8 hours in a day, and still having time to do everything else he wants to do for a hobby. And call me funny. That's the thing is I've seen when I first started into the dad sphere kind of thing, I've seen these dads that one day would talk about how you have to work out 3 hours a day or work out minimum two if you're doing your warm-ups, and then go to work 8 hours, and talks about spending 4 hours with your kids and getting a full night, 8 hours sleep. And I'm sitting there, and I kid you not, several of these people I've sat down and went through their feed and wrote down the times. I'm sitting there going, this is a 32-hour day if you include travel. It's not like for where I live. If I had to go out when I worked outside the house, it took me one company took me a half hour to get to office and 2 hours to get home because of traffic. Another place took an hour to go and an hour to get back. So even if you find a gym on the way, a half hour to the gym, a half hour to work, there's an hour, there's 3 hours, then you spend the 8 hours. And most people rarely get just 8 hours of work, especially as you get older, all this. An 8 hour day is really not common. And then to get 8 hours sleep, man, I'll tell you what, I haven't gotten it's 8 hours sleep. Like I was amazed that I was able to only be woken up once last night. Well, twice, once because of the cat, but once for my kids, because if you have more than one kid, it's one night, one kid's going to make a noise, daddy. The other night, the other one's going to wake up from a nightmare. Or you occasionally get those nights where you sleep through and you just sit up, go, what? Did I hear something? Oh no, that was a cricket. Yeah. So, I mean, this concept that people see all the time about, and don't get me wrong, exercising, being healthy, doing what's right for your family is very much important. But I can tell you last time I've stepped inside a gym, I promise you, as I just mentioned, I don't always get 8 hours of sleep by any means. And the fact is I consider myself a strong father and a strong husband, but I can guarantee probably the two of you would be able to whoop me in a fight without a challenge. You know what I mean? So I want to say for me, the thought of being a strong husband, strong father is not just being physically strong. What's your guys' opinion on this? Because reading that post, it sounds like a lot of men are sitting there thinking the definition of being a strong husband and father is being able to fight off a roving bandit coming into your house or whatever.
Well, the idea that to be a strong father or husband, that it relates immediately, we relate the word strong to physicality and how much you can lift or run or whatever the case might be, your physical capabilities rather than your actual, like, say, mental capabilities to solve problems and to teach your kids, like, similar to what we were talking about beforehand, right? Is like where we're to teaching your kids how to do certain things and certain nuances of the world that are not necessarily things you sit down and you learn in a classroom. You learn through experiences and teaching them how to grow. So I don't agree with that. I know it's a thing that, you know, a lot of people try to sell, If we're being honest, it's an idea or it's a thing we try to sell. And then this pushes these men who do not feel strong enough or adequate enough to these coaches who say, hey, I'm going to yell at you, or I'm going to teach you how to be strong and all these things. And you need to be able to do this. You can't protect your family. And it's like, hold on, I can protect my family, in many ways. Protection does not only mean, me being the sole person that, or the sole thing that stops a threat or negates a threat, right? You know, like there are other things, other factors in the world or in the States, especially that we can utilize at our disposal to do that, right? For example, calling the police. Like I as cheesy as it sounds, I'm still going to call the police. Now the police, what happens between the police arrival, and whatnot is definitely dependent on the person.
Right.
Myself, I don't have cameras in my house for a reason. And I tell people this all the time, do not put cameras in your house unless, you know, you're willing to give them over to the police. But I don't put cameras in my house for a very specific reason. So you could only just hear the noises. We heard these noises based off your cameras from outside. We don't know what's going on. I'm like, I can't tell you. I kind of blacked out, and then you guys showed up, and then this person was gone, and they were being taken away, you know. But like, that's, again, that's me, and that's not everybody, and I don't expect everybody to do that or to be that way. And there's no one way of being a man or being a dad. Right. And that's what I think what it boils down to is everyone wants to summarize it and our one shoe fits all. Right. Hey, this is the only way and you can be a man. When let's go back to history. What's that guy's name? World War II. He was the fat British dude, I think.
Oh, Churchill.
Alexander the Great.
No, Churchill. I'm sorry.
Churchill.
I was thinking Churchill. So Churchill. Let's just be honest. Churchill was a strong man. He was a strong individual, right? But we don't, when we say strong, no one looks at Churchill and says, oh yeah, that dude's gonna beat the brakes off of me. No. Everyone just knew his presence and his mental fortitude, the way he could put things, his ability to think strategically was what made him a strong man. It wasn't by any means his fitness level, because let's just be honest, that dude was fat. but he had one of the best minds available. So like, that is what I think of when someone tells me, oh, we need to be a strong man, right? Like George Washington was the guy who had it all, right? Like for his time, he was a fit dude. He was a general. I wouldn't want to go against that guy in any sense, right? Like, you know, physically, but also mentally, he was a smart dude. Now, he wasn't as smart as the others who founded the country, but he still was considered a smart individual, right? But he was still considered a strong individual. And I use these examples just to say, like, it's being strong is there's so many facets of it, right? I'll go biblical for a second. Saul and David were two kings that were like, everyone knew, like, hey, you don't mess with us, right? Like, those guys will chop your head off and then tell you about how their God loves you at the end of it. You know what I mean? Like, that's just who they were. Solomon, on the other hand, Solomon could fight in battles, but you didn't hear about Solomon fighting in battles. And that just wasn't Solomon's niche, right? Solomon was, you know, as we know, the wisest king, right? And so he wanted wisdom and he got wisdom. And so that is just shows you, but again, still strong, all the Saul, David, and Solomon, all strong individuals just in their own way.
Right.
Yeah, it was, I mean, that's kind of going biblical. I mean, the classic, you know, David and Goliath.
Yeah.
Goliath was clearly physically stronger and can definitely beat a pipsqueak in an arm wrestling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But the reality is, David had a stronger mind and he figured out a system, and it cracked him in the head with a rock and took him down. You know, such is life. You know? Yeah. I would say my thoughts when, you know, I mean, I see all those posts and stuff, and, you know, a lot of those dudes make money doing all this coaching and fluffing these dudes that don't got good self-esteem and all this other jazz and all that stuff. And good for them. You know, you're making money. You've basically getting convincing someone else to give you money for your experience and knowledge and whatever. Good, you know, good for you. You know, free market, whatever. Have fun. You know, but I don't find myself falling suit in a lot of that stuff because for one, it's more so of a trend that'll die off just like everything. Mm-hmm. And for two, the other side of it is, you know, not everybody can do that. You know, there are plenty of people that are extremely strong and can barely pick up 20 pounds. You know what I mean? They're different, you know, it's the same thing. You know, and, you know, me being weird, you know, I go towards like politics and stuff like that. And of course, but I mean, you look at feminism, you know, feminism, you know, is the complete opposite decision of what strong and strength is. They clearly define strong as physical strength. They don't put it as mental strength, because if they did, and if they considered strength across the board in every different aspect and everybody's different equally, then they would understand that women physically cannot be as strong as men. It's impossible. The idea that everyone is physically strong is just silly. So, you know, women are strong in a different matter, you know, in a totally different way, you know, very much so. And that's kind of what makes everyone great. Do I believe that just because someone isn't a physically fit or strong person that they shouldn't strive to try to be at least a little bit? No, I mean, I do think for you as a father and a dad, should be doing something to at least stay decent. You know what I mean? Fit, you know, capable of getting off the couch, you know, restricting your eating and diet and stuff like that. And you should strive to be stronger than you are, but you should never strive to be as strong as someone else. And then, I mean, that goes for mental strength as well, you know, reading, studying, learning new things. All these different items, you know, will definitely make somebody strong. You know, so I would say my dad is not a big strong man, but he's very, very smart when it comes to like business, and he's very resilient when it comes to like failing and doing things like that, as well as things like talking to people. He's very good at like talking to people and selling and stuff like that. That's an extreme strength that he has. And I see being able to sell things and that power of sales, that's a very strong and very powerful, you know, unique skill that a lot of people don't have. You know, that skill can take down the biggest and most smartest person on earth. You know what I mean? If you're going in a fight against somebody that's huge and strong and very intelligent, just being able to sell them something can completely change the scope of the battlefield. You know what I mean? So that, to me, that's, I see that as another strength that's different. Cause like me, I tower over my dad. My dad probably is about this tall. You know, I'm 6 foot even. I'm flat 6 foot, you know, maybe in between 6 and 6'1", but I consider myself flat 6 foot. You know what I mean? And my dad's probably like 5'6", 5'7". He's not very tall, and he's not a big muscular guy. Me, you know, 6 foot, around 250, give or take 10, you know, up and down. I fluctuate depending on the week, and I work out literally daily. And like Eric was saying, you know, not everybody can do the 2-3 hours a day. I mean, I typically do about 2 hours a day, but I mean, it's at like 9:30 at night. You know what I mean? But that's just what I like to do, my thing. You know, not everybody does that. I do throughout the day, I do 180 push-ups every single day. And then in the evening time, starting around 8:30 to about 9:30, 10, I'll work out for about another hour and a half, you know? And I mean, I can curl 50-pound dumbbells, and I have the ones where you put them in and you change it. And pull them out, and they go to 52.5. So I don't go to the gym. I don't do that. I do the dumbbells and push-ups and stuff like that. And I have a bike, so I'm not fat. But I can do the full thing, the 52.5. I could do that like this. I could do 20 of those, and that'll wear me out. And I do that about 3-4 times. Same thing with curls. You know, my dad couldn't even pick up one of those probably. You know what I mean? Right. So he has a strength that's completely opposite of mine. Like I feel as though being in my current career field, I can do sales pretty good. You know, it's kind of the way it kind of operates. So I'm pretty decent at it, but nowhere near like him. You know what I mean? It's the same with him. He's pretty strong, but when it comes to being able to pick up something very, very heavy, nowhere near like me. You know what I mean? So I absolutely agree.
I think it's kind of one I would say is when it comes to mentioning sales, right? That's one of those things where being able to convince somebody to purchase something or that they want something that they never thought of before having that they needed or wanted is a powerful skill, right? And it's a skill that I personally am striving for, to be able to utilize words to convince people that this is that they want to listen to me. They're like, I don't know why I want to listen to this guy, but I something tells me I need to be, I should have been listening to this guy a long time ago, right? And it's
one of the most powerful skills out there.
And it's a beautiful thing, right? Because so many people are able to do it, and we just didn't realize it until someone told you, like, not like, hey man, they're selling you right now. We're like, what do you mean they're selling you? Well, they just told you to care about this thing, and now all of a sudden this is all you want to talk about, and now you care about this thing that you wasn't even on your sphere or spectrum of influence before. But I will say again, going biblical here, is Paul talks about we have our own gift, and so many people tend to focus on other people's gifts and say, well, that is your gift, and I feel like that should be my gift, but I'm jealous, and now I'm trying to strive for something that wasn't my gift to begin with. And so I always try to tell people, I was like, hey, you know, regardless of if you believe in God or whatever the case might be, you know, we all have our own gifts, and you should try to you have to figure out what your gift is. And I tell people all the time, I know what my gift is. I said, I know what I'm good at, and that's talking. I love to talk. I'm good at it. There's a lot of things I need to work on when it comes to talking, and such as the sales part, we're convincing people. But that being said,
it's cursing.
Yes, it's like I'm good at talking, and that's what I tell people, is like, that's my gift. And I was like, you may not see it as a gift, but for me, I took me a long time to realize and understand that it is my gift. And so everyone else ultimately needs to figure out, okay, what is their gift? What is the thing that separates them from everyone else that they can say, hey, this helps me make me who I am. And therefore, by me knowing who I am, I'm confident in myself. And I know that I may not be the strongest guy in the gym, but I know I am good at A, B, and C over here. And this makes me who I am. My kids love me, my wife, my spouse, my whatever, they love me, my family loves me, and I'm able to take care of them, protect them how I see fit. I may not be like, you know, again, I'm not a Green Beret. I'm not with the SEAL Team 6, and so I don't have the tactical knowledge and skill set to plan for someone to come into my house and then, you know, within 3 seconds they're shot in the face or something. You know, like I don't have that. You know, I don't. Yeah. I have the ability to some common knowledge of what I feel is sufficient enough for me to protect my family. But also at the end of the day, again, like I said, that doesn't mean you're less than. It just means, you know, if you there's a skill you want to learn, go learn it. And if you find out, like, hey, this is not something I really care for or want to do anymore, then cool. You learned it and it didn't work out. Move on to the next thing and keep pushing forward.
Right.
You know,
I feel also protection. When you were talking about protection of your family and stuff, I mean, I guess it doesn't necessarily mean you have to be big and strong and know tactical things. And protection shouldn't only reside in the idea of, you know, somebody breaks into your house and look at shoot them and protect your family. Yeah. Right. So protection also resides in knowledge. Because you should be able to have the knowledge of you and your family and how to protect your family. Say when you just, I mean, you go to the library and you see an LGBTQ plus IA VZQCW book on the shelf. You know, when you see that one, you should be able to have the intelligence, intellectual ability, knowledge, and just strength in your being as a father to be able to, you know, just slide your child past that book and turn it away. Protect your kid from that nonsense. You know, same thing when you're in schools, protecting them from informational overload, such as don't let your kid play with your phone on the internet and Facebook and stuff when they're 9. You know what I mean? I mean, that is protecting your kid. It sounds silly, but it is. You are protecting your child from getting, you know, mentally manipulated into nonsense. The other thing is, you know, teaching your kid manners. That's protecting your kid. That's protecting your family. Because when they turn 16 and they don't have manners and go talk to somebody the way they just talk to you, that person is not going to tell them to go in timeout. That person is going to do something a little different. So that to me is protection. It doesn't always necessarily boil down to, Physical strength at the current exact time. You know, it's a builder, a building of strength over time, and knowledge and protection of time, you know, as well.
You know, one thing that's coming to my mind is we talk about the different types of being strong, this and that. And at least that's what I'm hearing is a lot of, you can be strong this way, you can be strong this way. And, you know, I read a book that my pastor suggested when we started going to his church called Eight Great Smarts. He suggested it to me because I told him we were homeschooling my son, and he said, well, this will help you understand and be able to understand his way of thinking. And, you know, for years, I always thought, like my brother, he's very smart in nature. He's very smart at doing all this stuff. My brother is 6'5", 6". I think he's heavier than Mr. Pancakes, or he's at least down to that weight. He's that guy that you would sit there and go, well, that's just Bubba. You don't want to mess with Bubba. You know what I mean? Yeah. Me, I'm 5'8".
Big old dude.
Right. But my brother's very much nature smart. Him and my son literally talks about different things in nature. My brother's not a talkative person normally, but him and my son will talk about nature on my son's little phone watch that's only connected to family. And I see I might sound like I'm controlling, but I see every call he makes. I see all this stuff. He's 6 years old. I should know everybody he talks to at 6 years old.
Of course, absolutely.
Yeah.
But the fact is they can talk, and my brother can really dive into that with him. Me, I'm good at managing people. I'm good at understanding problems. I'm very good at several things that take different types of way of thinking. Like I can build a website. I can create stuff that I think are going to be beneficial. I can even teach people how to do. Those are the type of smarts that I have. Don't get me wrong. I love being out in nature. I love getting away from my computer and being able to enjoy stuff. I enjoy talking with people, but I don't have that same nature skill, that same strength, you could say. But we all have our own intelligence, our own ability to understand these are what we're good at. We're good at management. You have to have people that are good at management, have strength in different areas. And I think in the book I read, there is an example where this girl was going through her class and she wanted to do a history class in art in high school for advanced kids. The teacher said, well, no, you're not good at history. We're not going to let you in. She thought she wasn't smart enough. She took an art history class in college and aced it because she found the art side of it interesting. She understood art. She understood that kind of smarts. Now, when it comes to strength, if you understand your strengths, and it sounds silly, but like my son is smaller than my wife, but he has more strength, more physical strength than my wife. But my wife is also smarter, and she can shove him aside. She can move him around. Now, mind you, as he gets older and gets smarter, my wife's going to have less of that ability. But the fact is right now, my son does have more strength than my wife, or at least close to equal of her. And my kids are just weirdly strong. They're, I don't know if it's just
Let me give your wife my grandmother's phone number so she can teach her about the Italian wooden spoon. It don't matter how big and strong and manly you are. An Italian grandma, you ain't telling her nothing. She's going to whack you with that spoon.
You really want to put Italian versus Chinese native that was taught?
Well, I don't know. Both of those sound. There's a lot of fear in that. In those mothers and that motherly love. You were like, I'm good.
Well, see, here's what I find funny about that is like, and I'm picturing it because I've seen like TV shows where the Italian grandmother or Italian mom's yelling in Italian. I've watched my wife just as soon as she gets worked up or something, she starts yelling in Chinese, and I don't know if the kids understand her or not. But they seem to calm down. And
it's the tone. I listen, mom only gets that way when we've done something wrong, like really wrong. Better we just shut our mouth. You know, it's funny because I'm bigger and I'm stronger than my mom. Right. But there was never been in my mind a moment where, if my mom was like spanked me, or like if she was, you know, punished me, where I was like, I could just be like, hey, listen, this is not going to work anymore. My older brother tried that, and I was just like, And me and my twin brother, we're just like baffled because we were a lot younger than him. We're just like, are you crazy? Are you insane? It's like, it's not necessarily her you have to feel. It's the person she has behind her that
right.
you, that kid, that will come at. Like, he may not be here now. And but this he will may, be. This moment, but this moment, and this moment might pass. These feelings will pass. But I can tell you right now, the moment she tells him that he's, it's going to be like he was there in that moment. And you're just going to, the fear of God is going to come upon you and be like, I messed up, right? And like, that was what it was for me, where I was like, I would never thought about like talking rudely to my mom or anything, right? Like nothing. Because I always knew, one, it was like, hey, I love my mom and respect my mom, but also I may, there's, you know, there are things that for her, but like more or less it was my dad that I knew that would always come behind later on. And I would have to fear, where it would be very calm. And he'd be like, hey, so, can you just tell me what happened today? And you're just like, oh crap, I'm screwed. He knows. Run away. So yeah, it was it's craziness.
My grandpa would just sit on the couch and just sit there.
All silent, like
mad. Just he would always be quiet and just they watched a lot of TV, but you know, because they've been old my whole life. Surprise, they're still around, but they are, thank God, please stay around. But yeah, they would just sit and watch TV, and me and my grandmother would be over there like, rah! She'd be chasing me around a thing and whacking me, you know, and my grandpa would just sit there just waiting. And as soon as I would, like, if I caught a glimpse of him, or as soon as he would like get up, everything would stop. So, yeah, he wouldn't even say anything. He'd get up like he didn't give a crap that we were beating each other and yelling at and screaming at each other, and my grandma's whacking me with a spoon. He didn't care. He'd get up to go get a drink, and just him getting up would make me like,
it's the fear of like, what if he comes over here?
Yeah,
what happened next? To me? It's right. Yeah. Or like just walking past you, just be like, I'm just going to the bathroom. You're the one who's being weird. Mm-hmm. And you, but yeah. he knows. You know, it's crazy. They always know. Like, you know, as you get older, you learn these tricks where you're like, where kids and or even parents, right, will respond to where they're like, okay, I'm just gonna, I don't know what it is about that person's presence over there, but it just told me and everything inside me that if I should stop, I should just stop, you know.
Calm down.
I wanted to ask you, Eric. So like for you, you mentioned you don't go, you don't do the gym thing, or you haven't done the gym thing in a while, right? Or whatever the case might be. Do you feel that though that makes you less than as a dad in any way, or that makes you not as equal to other dads, or even as a man, right? Because we're saturated with so much, you know, with so much BS, if you will, with whether it's through social media, whether it's through TV, movies, where all these things, this idea of what a man or a father is supposed to look like or supposed to do, right? And so in so many ways, it hits our subconscious of like, oh, well, that's what I'm supposed to do, or that's what that right looks like. When that's what right looks like for those individuals that are made up and completely fiction, but not in real life. You know what I mean? So like for you, like do you get that feeling, or are you like, hey, no, I'm confident. I know who I am or where my strength lies.
Well, let me put it this way. So I'm not completely, I'm not in the best of shape by all means.
I'm not going to say I am not there as well. So,
but the point I'm getting here is, you know, like I spent 5 hours at the zoo and I learned that 5 hours of pushing two kids in a wagon or pulling them in the wagon, whatever direction I had to do uphill, does do a number to your legs. And I'm sitting there for the next 2 days going, wow, I need to start working on my legs a little more. You know, there are those times that I sit there and go, you know, it'd be smart of me to work out. But as a whole, here's the thing is, if somebody comes in the house, I have several ways, depending on which room I'm in, to defend myself. I also have a gauntlet of kid toys they have to maneuver through that as a father, I mean, I can do a ballet dance through a living room with kids toys with my eyes closed, you know, but the general fact is I know somebody comes in my house and it sounds silly, but as a father, I've actually thought of all the different ways, different rooms, even sitting right here. If somebody came in right now, I could figure out what I would do to take care of it. You know, I might get hurt, but in the process, I could protect my family. I also know that I'm willing to do what it takes to protect my family. It doesn't matter if you're a big guy or a small guy. A big guy could see a guy with a gun and run away while the small guy comes and tackles the guy. You know what I mean? Right. Strength, to me, I understand strength is not just physical, but a mental ability. And my kids know that I would do whatever it takes to protect them. Right. My wife knows that I would do whatever it takes to protect her. So I know that my family is well protected. No matter what it takes, I'll do. And with that, I feel fully secure in myself. The thing I think that people feel like they're not good enough or whatsoever is because they're afraid that if they were faced with that circumstance, they're not sure what they would do.
And, well, that, and I mean, did you guys watch the Deadpool movie?
No.
Hugh Jackman's abs are supreme.
Well,
that in itself, like, I literally just got done telling you I do 180 push-ups a day on top of working out about an hour and a half. I cannot get abs to save my life.
I'm right there with you. Right there with you. Never a thing.
Doesn't matter.
It was a thing when I was 17, 18. But after that, nah. I couldn't get rid of them
when I was 18 years old.
Yeah.
But now, I can't get them back. It's like, I don't understand. Like, yeah. I mean, I got big muscular arms. I got the shoulders. You know, I got the big chest. I mean, obviously no one could see it, you know. And you guys can't see it because it's camera and all that stuff. But, I mean, I got muscular legs, you know. I got calves that are like steel, but just right here. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what happens, but right here. Can't go away. It's like that scene from that Chris Farley movie. Not so much right here, and not so much right here, but right here. Yeah, I can't get that specific spot to be okay. Even if I do 1,000 crunches, doesn't matter.
That's good, funny. Lord.
No, I feel that. No, I feel because I don't know what it is and why we stress it so much. Like, because like before, it seemed, and I say before, but in different times, right? It seemed like intellect would determine strength and stature. And then now it's become this, well, physical strength determines, you know, strength and stature. I was always envious of those people who could balance. It was a balance of like, well, that's no, like team. Actually I have physical strength and I have intellect. You know, what's that guy's name? He's this bald tattooed dude who's all in the physical fitness. Stefani? Vince Stefani? No, what is it? I can't remember his name.
Gwen Stefani.
Yeah.
Gwen Stefani?
Nah, so what? He's this dude. He's this tattooed dude anyway. He's a doctor. He's full, like, not a like medical doctor, but he has his doctorate, right? And he is, but he does fitness plans, and he knows all about the body. But if you look at this dude walking down the street, you'd be like, that dude served in Rikers, and he left with all the tattoos. And I don't know what his job is, but it's good if I probably stay away from him. But if you talk to him, you'd be like, this is like the smartest person I've ever spoken to. And they have their doctorate, and I don't know if I should call them doctor or sir. You know what I mean? Like, it's just these, and you, but like, you're just looking at this image of just this person with all these tattoos, you know what I mean? And trying to imagine where this, like, how did the doctorate come with the decision-making for all the tattoos? You know what I mean? So like, yeah, I don't know. I think it's funny, but like I said, intellect, go ahead.
Have you ever like read any books or seen any interviews or done any like research of Marilyn Manson? Like outside his, you know, the beautiful people, you know, outside of that, like anything on him?
No.
So his real name is Brian Warner. You know what I mean? I think he's from like South Florida somewhere, like where I grew up. You know what I mean? So the dude has like several autobiographies and several books, all kinds of information he's written on all kinds of other stuff. And he's done several interviews. And the guy's intellect and intelligence level is very, 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 very high. And oddly, not in a like a schizophrenic, like a schizophrenic psycho way. Like, you know, like that one dude from that movie that would like, what's his name? Like, I can't think of it. The Silence of the Lambs. Like, he was a psycho, but he was Hannibal super Lecter. Intelligent. Yeah, Hannibal Lecter. Extremely intelligent, but he was a psycho. His psycho isn't like that. You know what I mean? Or his intelligence isn't like that. He's probably at a higher level than that, and intellectually and very intelligent, but he actually has legit, normal, like realistic ideas, like when he talks about things. And it's, I read a couple of his books years ago when I was on deployment. You know, it's, you get a lot of time when you're just sitting around doing nothing in the sand.
Yep.
but yeah, it's like reading his books, and they, I mean, they were amazing. You know what I mean? They were very easy to read, very, very good information. The stories that he wrote about, you know, and through his life and stuff were very, very good. He even talks about how, like, a lot of people for their books and autobiographies, you know, they use people to help them. They tell the story and then someone else writes it in a way that is easy for people to, that he did all of that. You know what I mean? Obviously, he had an editor clean it up for him. You know, everybody does, especially mm-hmm. if you're using a publishing company. But he didn't use, like, other people to write it for him and, you know, say the words. He did all of it up until, like, the last final stuff. You know, so, I mean, the dude's extremely intelligent. So, yeah, it's pretty interesting. And, I mean, it looks like a psychopath.
and I think that's, like, that's part of the part of the thing, right, where it's what image of ourselves are we – portraying to the world or to society, right? And how are they perceiving that image? You know, I think what you mentioned originally, Eric, when you were talking about the Reddit post, right? I think what it boils down to for a lot of men is the image they're trying to portray is not being received that way. It's being received differently. And so people want to display strength and intellect and all these things, but they don't feel like they have the pec or the shoulder muscles, right, or the back muscles to really display those things, right? So it's not being received that way. Where in other regards, it might be someone might look at me and they're like, oh, you're just a musclehead, meathead type of dude, and you know, and it's received that way, right? Because that's what we see and that's how people perceive it. You know, I think it boils down to is, okay, how do I want the world to receive me perceive me to be, right, based off of what they see, and are they receiving it the way I want them to? If not, how do I change? Meaning, mm-hmm. is it as simple as okay, I no longer wear a hat, or I, you know, instead of wearing shorts and chucks, I wear, you know, suit pants and some nice dress shoes with a collared shirt or something and a tie, right? Like, and that's what people see me as. So they see me as this muscular and this potentially intellectual as well, right? So how do we change that perception? So people see us how we want them to. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah. And you know, as you were talking, it came to my mind is, and I don't know why this was popping up, but I think where that comes is how we perceive ourselves.
Yes.
Because here's the thing is like, when you ask, how do I feel that I'm less than because I don't go to the gym and I don't do all this? And like I said, I know that my family is aware that I'm the protector of the family. Mm-hmm. I might be a smaller guy, but you know, when that time comes, I know what I would do. I also know my strengths and things like that. I know where my intelligence, I know how I see myself. And I've had people go tell me how they see me. And it's funny. I've had people, like when they talk to me on the phone, I've had people sit there and go, "Well, I thought you were like in your 60s or something." And then I've had people that see me and as they're talking to me and all this, you're like, "Man, I thought you were like your mid 30s, early 30s. I'm like, "No, I'm 44 right now." It's horrible. I have to remember the exact year. But still, the point is like, I know that I have that perception of myself and I see myself away. So I dress the way I see myself. Like my boss, we were at a company thing and he talked about how he doesn't even think he owns a shirt with a collar. 90% of the shirts I have a collar.
Yeah.
And I have, like, mind you, I have t-shirts and tank tops and things like that I wear around the house and what so have you. But work days I dress a certain way. So like I have that perception of myself. You can easily change how you see yourself. And a simple trick I've started with when I was younger, and I've done this ever since, is when you wake up in the morning, you ask yourself, "How's it going? I'm alive and kicking. It's a good day. Say that. Somebody goes, how's your day going? I'm alive and kicking. It's a good day. First, most people are going to sit there and go, yeah, okay. And then they're going to think about it and go, you know, you're right. And you'll see them kind of get a little more positive about it most times, unless it's somebody that's just naturally a negative person. But most common people will sit there and as soon as they think, you know, he's right. I'm alive and kicking. It's a good day. Could be worse. I could be dead. And you go with that positive start mindset and you work through that instead of saying, you know, such a crappy day. It's raining out. My wife yelled at me. My kid punched me in the face when I wasn't looking. And then I got stuck in 2 hours of traffic and I had to spend 8 hours in the gym and then 8 hours at work and 8 hours here just before I went home. Man, the fact is I'm alive and kicking. I have a good family. I have kids that for the most part are good. They love me. All this life, you could have worse things in life. You could have, I read a post online where somebody was talking about his niece was going, her family was surrounded by all these horrible people, drug dealers, weird fetishes, weird things. Her her father was having a gay affair. The mother was, I forget it. I was like if you could have a mess up family, it went beyond any family that I ever knew that I thought was messed up. And then the niece ended up seeing herself as, I don't want to be like those people. Found a good man. And he even made the joke, he's found a good man, drives a truck and has a future. So I don't know what the truck has to do with it, but personally, I miss my pickup truck. The advantages you have with a pickup truck, throw stuff in the bed and go. God, I miss that.
Just don't drive a Prius.
Yeah, don't do those. That's terrible. I have a truck. I drive a Ram 1500 EcoDiesel. And nice. So like people like, they're like, they'll be like, oh, look, we can see your truck coming from a mile away. I'm like, sure. I was like, I don't care. I love my truck.
Right.
And, you know, and don't get me wrong. I'll complain about the price of diesel always. But that being said, like I tell people all the time, I may complain about the price of diesel, but I was like, there is nothing else that I'd rather be driving. Mm-hmm. And I was like, at the end of the day, I love my truck. I said love every single thing
that,
about my truck.
You cut that that eco exhaust nonsense off and pull that eco chip out the motor, you'll get better gas mileage.
Yeah, so I'm trying to do a stage two tune. Yeah, the ego is, it's a bunch of BS. it's funny because you know the United States is, you know, pretty strict, or the EPA is pretty strict.
You gotta put the exhaust stuff in the thing.
The DEF fluid. Yeah, I have to do the DEF fluid. So like I said, do stage two. I can completely get rid of that, and I don't have to worry about that. But the stage two is pretty expensive. But that being said, better gas mileage. But yes, I still get
it's not just like a hacksaw is like $4. Get up on an air. It's a diesel. My old diesel, I used to have a 7.3 power stroke. I had a four inch exhaust like off the motor. Like it was like right out. Yeah. That was it. It was only like this long. I mean, it was literally like 4 inch exhaust straight off the motor, went off the headers. Down into a 4 inch and out the side. I mean, the exhaust was probably 3 feet long total.
Yeah.
I mean, whenever it drove anywhere, it was just the big old whistle from the turbo, and it would black smoke everywhere. But you know what? Great gas mileage.
Yes. Oh, see, yeah.
Save the whales.
Couldn't do that here in Virginia. We get our, we have, besides the vehicle being tested every year, there's a emissions test you have to pass too to be able to get your license license plate renewed. Mm-hmm. So if your car doesn't pass state inspection and emissions, you don't get that sticker saying your vehicle is approved to be on the road. And then, of course, if a cop sees your tag is expired, that leads to a whole bunch of other nonsense. And
that's just a tax thing. It has nothing to do with actually making sure your vehicle is okay. It's another way to tax you.
Don't get me wrong. I'm well aware of that, and I am completely against anything the government does to tax us, take our money, tell us what to do, get involved in anything. If the government looks at me, I'm questioning what they're doing. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's also why I'm one of these people that believe in like school choice, and states should be school choice and completely focus on homeschool. Get the government out of it. But
you know who said they want to shut down the what do you call it? The Department of Education, the federal one?
Yes.
Yes.
Department of
Yes.
Who said it?
Yeah. I know Trump said that's it's one of the things he's going to do. Yeah.
They probably want day one.
The Department of Education was a thing that was created back in the 70s or the 80s, I think it was. And that's, I know, and that's when we were talking beforehand, the Rockefellers did have a hand in kind of creation of the Department of Education. But it's, again, and I tell people all the time, like, you know, like, I don't care where you, what, and ultimately, I don't care what you, as long as you believe in taking care of your family and yourself and how you see fit, and that doesn't interfere with me or my own, great, go forth and do great things. Mm-hmm. That being said, I think we can all come to an agreement on that we can, that the education system in the United States has been less than subpar for some, for a very long time.
Right.
And so the idea that
since someone was created,
right? The idea that we're just going to keep funneling people through that set, that system, and not come to the and not acknowledge that, like, hey, maybe there's something wrong with the system that we put into place, not with the people that we keep trying to put into those systems, or fill the system with, overwhelm the system with new people and saying, like, well, their ideas are going to change it. No. Let's just be honest. Maybe it's the system in it as a whole, and we should rethink that, at least rethink that, right? You know, I know when you hear people talk about, like, well, I get rid of the Department of Education. I totally agree with it. That being said, some people are not ready for that, what they believe to be a radical move or a radical change in the sphere of the United States. So, okay, let's open the door for a conversation to change it. And when that comes with that change, you have to recognize there's for real change to happen, drastic measures have to be taken. So there's going to be some things, even if you change the Department of Education and not completely get rid of it, it's not going to be the system. It's not going to be the old system in which you had. And there's no way for us to go back to that old system and get back to right on track to where we are currently. But again, I don't think people want to do that because it's just a fear. There's a lot of fear in a lot of those things. And it's just, well, what if this thing? So the fear it drives a lot of people.
People need to understand, though, what the Department of Education does. So they have one purpose. They don't do anything else other than that one purpose. And that one purpose is to go, yep, you're in compliance. Good.
Yeah.
Yep, you're in compliance. Good. Yep, you're. That's all they do. That's all there is. And we spend $590 billion a year.
So
on that, on a dad, an overseer dad, basically. That's all it is.
Let me jump in and ask a question, kind of, since we're talking about the school systems and all that. You know, here's a thought. Do you believe that? And I do believe this. I want to get your guys' opinion on it. Is the school system there, at least here in the States, and I don't know about overseas or what so have you, but here in the States, they are pushing that men are the oppressors, right? And they try to make it seem like, so a lot of boys in public schools and things that are being taught that they're bad because they're oppressing, blah, blah, blah. So they are made to basically, and I've intentionally talked through that, to kind of work where the boys try to not be so manly, not be so secure in themselves, because if they show that they're strong men, then they have to fight the school system, all these people that are calling them oppressors. There are still kids in there that are, I'm tough, I'm strong, the athletes, things like that. But I can promise you, back in my day, I did wrestling for one season, hurt my knees. After that, I didn't do it. So I was never really a real jock. But the fact is you have a lot of these boys seeing that or being told that they are just violent, toxic, because they're men. So do you feel that the school systems are creating these boys that grow up to feel like they are too weak to actually do something because they're too scared to be actual men?
Yes, because weakness in men is more dangerous than strong men. Very much so.
I think you have that backwards.
Man, huh?
A weak man is less dangerous than a strong man.
No.
You think a weak man is more
dangerous than a strong man?
Because it's unpredictable.
A strong man has the strength to have empathy. and a weak man cannot control his emotions and cannot control his behavior, in which case, regardless of what we want to say, he is still a man. This is where feminism goes out the window, because women physically cannot be as strong as men. It's nature. It's natural. Now, can a woman go in there and take steroids or get jacked and stuff? For sure. You know, technology and all this stuff has changed stuff accordingly. But naturally, just a general, the average woman and the average man, the man is maybe four times stronger physically in as far as physical strength than she is, just based on natural stuff. And when she tries to do so and so and so and forth, and he goes, "No, I'm a trans man," and goes in the bathroom and beats the ever loving piss out of her and rapes her, and she can't do nothing about it, and we all go, "Oh, we better back off. He's trans."
Kind of like what they did here in Loudoun County in Virginia.
Right. So that's why I say a weak man that is mentally weak and incapable of empathy and intelligence and understanding is much, much, much more dangerous than a strong man.
Because I believe it leads to unpredictability, right? You cannot predict, it's difficult to predict what a weak man is willing to do to prove that he is, in fact, a strong man when he is not, right? And so this kind of leads me to the thought process of individuals willing to take firearms into places where they shouldn't and to cause mass harm to prove that they are strong men, right? Or whatever the case might be. But look at more in a little detail with your question, what I think part of the problem is the fact of the matter is we took a key thing out of our curriculum throughout the time frame in education, and that is PE, if you will, physical education. And so young boys, adolescents, as they grow up, right, we have in us testosterone, and that I don't know what you want to call it. Anyway, that testosterone, right? It goes through us and it causes us to be more energetic and more amped up and ready to go, right? Mm-hmm. Especially when we're in that puberty, those puberty ages, right? For us, it's a lot more intense in a lot in our own ways than it is for women who have more estrogen and they're going through their puberty and what that leads for them, right? So that being said, what I think for in the education system, what I think they when they took away the education system, education or physical education, such as, all right, guys, hey, we're gonna go out in PE and you guys are gonna do this physical exercise, whatever, and allowed them to put it in a place to let all that to use that energy in a good way, in a good manner. The positive ramifications of that was they were physically strong, they were mentally stronger because they were like, hey, I'm putting this energy towards something that benefits me, benefits the school, because now when I go back into, say, my next class and say it's biology, I'm able to sit and I'm able to focus because I was able to utilize that, burn that energy off in a good way, rather than just sit here and be told, sit here for 8 hours. If you want to burn energy, you got to wait until after school and that's on your own time, right? That's what extracurriculars are for. But again, PE, man, such a great class where if we could really just teach kids, teach younger people how, like, hey, working out is fun, or doing this is how you do it, right? Or whatever the case might be. Burning that energy and letting that kind of allowing them to put it in a place in a positive way rather than in a negative way where they just keep it internal. They internalize it. And they don't know how to release it and it causes emotional outbursts. And that
also
is one of
teaches
the things,
them long, or not teaches them, but it also naturally builds their body long term. So if their body during those stages in life are developing their hormonal balances and all that stuff, you know, if they don't have that when they get older, they become a man, you know, full-sized man that has a lower level testosterone and a higher level estrogen, which we all know naturally estrogen can make, you know, too much estrogen in a man can make a man go nuts, you know, whereas vice versa, too much testosterone in a woman can make a woman go nuts. So it's a real scientific thing. So when you do that, it causes more mentally ill men, not because they're mentally ill, but because they have hormonal imbalances when they get older. Their natural testosterone levels are just simply lower because during their stages of puberty, they didn't actually get to develop them appropriately.
So. We're not, because ultimately what I think it is as we go through those stages in life, and we're experiencing different things, like again, but we're having weight, we have outlets in which we can utilize where we can get anger or sadness or whatever it is, those emotions out. We're also learning emotional intelligence. We're also teaching ourselves what emotional intelligence looks like, and then also being able to learn it from our parents, hopefully, or those our mentors around us. But again, as men, one of the things that we lack to be taught is emotional intelligence. Whereas women, they are taught what in their own correct or incorrect way, depending how you see it, what emotional intelligence is and looks like, because it's prioritized for them rather than for us. It's expected of like, well, you just bottle it all up and keep it inside, you know, where that's not good. That's not good for anybody. That's not good for anybody, man or female, or man or woman. That's not good for anybody. Right. Mm-hmm. You need those outlets. You need those, and you need to learn those and learn that emotional intelligence. Because when you become an adult and you hit a wall, right, where whether you're arguing with somebody or your boss is being mean and talking down to you, you're able to navigate that situation in a way where you're like, you're not immediately thinking like, I would love to punch his lights out right now, and not acting like, you know, not you're, but you're not going to act on that. You're going to be like, hey, sir, I understand what you're trying to tell me, but here, I understand, hold on. This is why I made the decision I made. This is what we did. Blase, blase. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm still wrong. Got it. Cool. How do we move forward from this? Whatever the case might be, rather than you having a lot of people now, when they get into this situation where it's that wall point. They're like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. This person's yelling at me. I feel this way. I feel that way. I don't know how to feel. And they're bullying me. They're belittling me. I'm less than, and it's like, hold on. I'm not here to break you down. I'm here to just let you vocalize my frustrations as your employer or as a friend, whatever the case might be. Mm-hmm. And rather than you breaking down, I need you to explain to me why you made the decision you made, so we can move past it and we can progress forward, whether that's in your workplace, your personal life, whatever the case. But I think it goes back to one of these small, it's a small thing. Truthfully, it's a small thing, but it plays a bigger role and impact on everything, is put back an hour of PE where you tell the kids, hey, you're going to change into shorts and shirts, right? Mm-hmm. And you're going to do an hour of physical exercise, whether that's pull-ups, push-ups, or squats, whatever the case might be, dodge. You know, sometimes it can be fun, but like ultimately, like I do believe, like doing physical exercise and teaching these kids what physical exercise looks like, especially at a young age, only helps them in the long run. Because now, I'll give you a perfect example. I have soldiers who are 20, 21, who I am like, okay, we need to go do lift this thing, or we need to go run, or we need to go ruck, we need to go do these physical activities, these things that are physically demanding, and they can't keep up because their entire life has been spent behind a computer screen or a TV screen or whatever the case might be. They very rarely played outside. Or
boy, I'm 40 years old.
Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying?
Get going. Come on.
Or like the idea of them never really like getting, you know, doing any physical sort of activity before until they join the military, and then it's like, all right, hey, now it's expected that you're going to do these things. So we're like, well, I can't because I've never done that before, and then they hurt them. And again, I'm not saying everybody needs to be as strong as me or physically fit as you know as The Rock or something, but having just simple strength. Well, if the army, yes, having just like a foundational strength. Of that, like, so totally true. But like being able to do that foundational strength where, hey, like I tell people all the time, I wholeheartedly believe that everybody, every single person in the world should be able to do 5 pull-ups. And people look at me crazy all the time. I said, listen, here's why I believe that. Because if you can do 5 pull-ups, that means you have, and how much you weigh doesn't matter, right? Because that tells me that you're able to move your body or pull your body weight up, regardless how big you are, above a bar. So that means you're physically capable enough to do just the simplest things in life. And that's why I hold that belief. And And it's not to tell everybody, like, hey, if you can't do 5 pull-ups, shame on you. It's just to say, hey, I think it's a goal that everyone should aspire to, just to be able to do 5 pull-ups. True. And and you'll be amazed when you work and you train just to be able to do 5 pull-ups, what comes out of it, where people are like, oh, man, I'm doing more pull-ups now than I'm working. And it just creates something. It starts something that you've never thought that you would never think would go to where you started with, I'm just trying to do 5 pull-ups, to now where I work out, I make sure I do this, this, and this exercise to keep in a decent amount of shape, and I'm good for it. So
that's where I was at with push-ups. So like, I was kind of in the same like slumpy kind of after the military, kind of like got lazy, had a lot of back pains and stuff, you know, all service connected and stuff, had a lot of medical issues, and I just kind of was like, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, I just let it ride, and I actually got a little fat, you know, lazy. I mean, I go outside and mow my lawn, it takes me 30 minutes to mow the whole thing. It'd take me like hours and be out there like, you know, and after a while I was like, you know, I'm just going to do 10 push-ups. So I bought these little things to put on the ground because I got bad wrists, and, you know, full disclosure, probably from hitting people. But anyways, I have bad wrists. So I bought the things and I just started with like 10 push-ups. So I did 10. And then the next day I did 10, and then I waited like a couple hours and did 10 more, and I just built. Now, you know, I say I do 180 push-ups, like actually do every single day, but I don't do 180 push-ups from start to finish. Mm-hmm. You know, I do them typically in sets of 20. I drop, I do 20, you know, do some work or whatever. So here's, and I go back there behind my desk and drop, do 20 more, do it again throughout the course of the day. Sometimes I do about 2 or 3 sets at home, you know, so throughout the course of the day, I do about 180, you know what I mean? Just to get them out, you know what I mean? Because, I mean, 180 back-to-back would be like, oh, my God.
Well, yeah. And that goes back to just, like, starting small. It's starting small and saying, okay, I'm going to start small, and, yeah, I'm going to only do 10 push-ups a day for 6 months. But then after 6 months, that turns into 20 push-ups. And then another 6 months, that turns into 30 push-ups. And then you just keep going. And then within six years, right, you're like, oh, yeah, I do 300 push-ups a day. And you're not even thinking about the number anymore. You're just thinking like, you just know you do 300 push-ups a day. He's and people are
20 every hour or something.
Right. And people are like, when people hear that, they're like, you do 300 push-ups a day?
Oh, that's crazy.
You're like, what do you mean? Like, it just, you know, it's for you. It's just, it's you created, what's it called? A habit. And now the habit is ingrained in you, and you're just like, hey, this is what I'm used to, this is what I do, and I do it, and it's not ridiculous.
2 minutes. It takes me 2 minutes or less to do 20 push-ups.
Yeah.
And I just when I started at 10, it would probably take forever to do 20 push-ups. But, you know, now that I've built it up, I mean, I literally drop 20, done, 2 minutes, less than 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. I mean, so it takes longer to get out of my chair and go over there and get back in my chair than it does to actually put the 20 push-ups. So, yeah, it really doesn't take much time every single day. I typically do about once every hour, once every hour and a half, you know, depending on my workload throughout the course of the day. And then whatever's left, I'll go home. And in the evening times, I'll bang out the rest, you know. So it's pretty simple.
Yeah, and that's like you said, that's one of the things ultimately kind of like, I guess, bringing it back full circle, right? Is being a man is up to you, right? And I say that loosely, meaning like, hey, there are standards of great men to follow, and are examples of great men to follow, and to aspire to be similar to, right? You're not going to be completely like them, but aspire to be similar to in your own way. But that being said, you are, by you just putting forth effort, it alone will show yourself, your kids, and show your family, the people that really care about you, that that you're willing to do what it takes to better yourself every single day, regardless of how tired you are, regardless of how stressed out you are, what's going on at work, what's going on in your personal life, whatever the case might be, you're still resilient enough to say, hey, I have people who rely on me, and I need to be better. And you know, like I may be good now, maybe okay now, but I think I can be, and I'm always striving to be better, just so I can, one, prove to myself that I can be better, and two, prove to my family that I owe it to them to be better. Because we can all talk about a story about what happened in our past life with our parents, whether it was good or bad, right? But we always always order striving to be better and different from our parents in so many different ways, right? Because we think like, hey, I said I could do it better as a kid, and now is my opportunity to do it better, and I'm only doing what they were doing. Nope, I'm going to change it. I'm going to be better. So
yeah, for sure. Yeah, I would say the only additional thing that I could kind of really come across and think about while we were talking, it kind of crossed my head. Something that, is real powerful and strong, you know, as a man or a woman or anybody, but primarily I would say as a man, a father and a husband, is, you know, I guess it's empathy, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. In a way, a lot of people misconstrue as toxic masculinity, right. You know? So if my wife, you know, if she does anything to where like, she's mad at me and screams at me and I just kind of suck it up, deal with it. All right. And then they'll do what she says, you know, or something as simple as, you know, I ensure that I pay for dinner time, you know, or, you know, I go to open the door for her, or, you know, any of those things, or I'm dominant in the, you know, room, you know, more, you know, any of these type of things, a lot of these natural traits of being a man, you know, in a way, when my wife decides to get pissed off at me and scream at me, or because maybe I did something messed up, or maybe she's just in a bad mood and wants somebody to draw it out of and slam it to, it's up to me as the leader of the house and the man, the father, to hold that empathy and that stoicism. Just take it, because maybe take it, bottle it, and funnel it into a direction to help guide her into the correct decision or a better mood or whatever the case is. That to me is a powerful strength, because could I ultimately just decide to just be like, shut up, and just backhand and crack her across the face? And literally, what could she do? You know, at that point, I'm going to leave you. No, you're not. Get in there. Grab her by her hair and bring her in the bathroom, lock her in the bathroom. Literally, what could she do? Yeah. No, seriously. Think about it. If I decided to do any of those things, I could do it. And there's nothing she could do about it. She knows where all my guns are. She could go get one of my guns, and it still won't do anything, because I will be on top of her quicker than she will be able to get one of my guns. So that's what I'm saying. There's literally nothing she could do about it. I could literally crush her skull and lock her in a bathroom at any moment in time I physically want to and feel like it. So that in itself is a strength as a man, to understand that that is not okay, knowing that stuff and how to treat others, whether it's your wife, friends, family, all that stuff. And that's where I believe what you were talking about, developing while you're a teenager, in school with physical fitness and stuff like that, and getting that emotional intelligence helps in those matters.
Yeah, self-control. Relying on self-control.
And I'm so glad you went there.
Not to say all men want to do that. Not to say all men are wanting to do that. Not to even say that you want to do that, right? But it's understanding that, kind of going back to what you had mentioned, where weak men are stronger than strong men, because weak men are ultimately unpredictable. And I'll first say this. If you are recognize yourself, if you take accountability and say, okay, I'm maybe a weak man. Okay, so cool. I appreciate you, one, taking accountability. That's one. Number two, saying, okay, what can I do? What do I need to do to get myself to be in the strong man category, if you will, right? And the strong man category does not mean what society determines as the strong man category. The strong man category means, what does it look like for within my home and within my family, right? Because if my family tells me that, no, my husband's strong, my dad's strong, he's capable, I know he can protect me, he'll do what he needs to do to take care of me, or whatever the case might be, in any regards, whether it's putting food on the table, making sure the light bills are paid for, making sure there's water in the house, whatever the case might be, right? It's like, okay, once you kind of can answer that question, then you can say, okay, cool, how do I get there? What is it I need to do to get there? And that is ultimately what I think. I kind of think what you're saying is it's building that self-control to say, like, hey, I could just say F it and just, you know, scorch earth, you know, because I'm angry and I'm upset and no one takes me seriously. Or I can say, okay, how do I improve? What can I do to improve? And I think that's all what this, that's ultimately, that's what it boils down to, is how can I improve? What can I do to improve so that I make sure that one, I can be happy and proud of the man that I look at when I look in the mirror. And then two, my family could be proud of me, the person that I am, when they sit there and they say, like, no, that's my husband, or no, that's my dad right there. He's freaking dope. That's so cool. Right. And that's what it boils down to. So, yeah.
Right. And you show your kid and your wife how to handle appropriately situations. You know, you'll teach them that as soon as you're upset, roll heads, you know, that's, you teach them that that's not okay. Getting upset is okay, but how you handle it is important. And that's a very strong person, but it's strong up here.
Absolutely. Let's do this, because obviously this is a topic that we all have a lot of thoughts on and can go further on. And we've, I think, are close to like an hour and a half or so of talking. So instead of making this a long episode, we might just have to have Quan back on and discuss even more. It might just become a regular thing at this point, but
I love it.
You know, in all truth, so do I. So let's do this. Let's wrap up. Quan, tell people where to find you, where they can reach out to you. You do Mediocre Dads. You do some consulting or some mentorship, you call it.
Yeah.
To help people find you, and then we can go from there.
Yeah, so I am Quan. I go by Q, host of Mediocre Dads. You can find Mediocre Dads at mediocredads.net, or you can go on Instagram, mediocre_dads. You'll see my beautiful face over there. And but I'm on X, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram. Podcast is on YouTube, it's on Spotify, it's on Apple Podcasts, it's on Rumble. So find me there. I do live episodes every Thursday, Mediocre Dads Bible Study. So feel free to always join us there on Thursdays. We do a live episode with my co-host, MB. We talk about a lot of different biblical topics there. So, but yeah, that's me. Like I said, Mediocre Dads, it's really simple. That's where you can find me.
Perfect. Mr. Pancakes?
Yeah, as always, the normal, the best place is always, you know, www.pancakesforthedad.com. We're obviously on most socials of Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or X. I do have a LinkedIn as well as a Truth Social. I'm active on all of them, probably least Instagram because it's the newest. I'm building it back up from its crash. But there's plenty of stuff. Definitely go to the website. We have all kinds of cool merch. It helps us fund things like this and hopefully build more personal programs to help, you know, help men and dads and fathers and whatever else later on. As well as there's tons of free resources. We have all the links and stuff to different books and magazines, as well as this is an entire woodworking download, where you can download, you know, woodworking plans and all kinds of other stuff. And like I said, the more stuff and merch and cool stuff you buy, the more money comes in. We can find new resources to put onto the page and have a bigger, broader page. That way there's more for men and dads, and hopefully one day even like a women's section, you know, mother's section or whatever, you know, just as time grows on. So www.pancakesforthedad.com.
Perfect. Call with Dads, obviously, callwithdads.com. We're Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. And the best place I would always say is go to callwithdads.com, where you can find our shows on Rumble, YouTube, and any audio location you're looking at. I always say, if you can't find it where you want to play it, let me know. I'll get it on there. And also sign up for our newsletter, where you're going to find out when we're going to be airing different episodes with different guests, with we're going to be having different guests on to talk with, any news, any exciting stuff. And I'll tell you, we're working on something right now that's going to hopefully change a lot of things for homeschooling dads, homeschooling moms, be able to produce something that's going to make life a whole lot easier and put education back into the hands of the community, and no longer, so you can not raise weak boys and all this, and they'll have that mental fortitude to be able to be good. good husbands and good fathers, however you feel fit to do so. It'll be back in your hands. Sign up with the newsletter so once that happens, you can be one of the first to join in on it. Because trust me, it's going to be fantastic. With that being said, I am going to say goodbye to everybody here. Quan's going to hold on for me for a few moments, if you don't mind. Mr. Pancakes is going to hold on. But everyone else, goodbye.
All right, thanks. See you.